Hello, and welcome to Friends for Life, a podcast of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's National Mission. We're here to come alongside you as we journey through life under the cross. What does it look like to care for our neighbors in body and soul? How do we tend to our own body and soul? How can we speak up for life? And finally, how do we share the faith with the next generation? Join us as we have these conversations and learn together. We hope you'll stick around and be our friends for life.
Thanks so much for joining us. I'm your host, Steph Nugebauer, here with my co-host for this season, Reverend Andy Becker. And our guest today is Mark Cook, a DCE for an LCMS church in Rochester, Minnesota. Mark, welcome. Would you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Hey, yeah, it's good to be here with you. I'm a director of Christian education at Trinity in Rochester. I've been serving here for over 15 years now. So still in my first call at this congregation. And it's been great experience getting to work with lots of different ministries here, from children's ministry, family ministry, youth ministry, confirmation, kind of one of those director Christian everythings that are out there, kind of generally doing a whole lot of different education stuff in our church here. And it keeps things fun because there's lots of different avenues to do Christian education in. My wife and I have been married for 17 years now. And she is a teacher by training and right now a stay-at-home mom with our kids. So Micah, he just finished second grade. He's 8 years old. Karis just finished kindergarten. So we had her kindergarten graduation last week. And then I've got a couple little ones here. Ezra, he's 3. Isaiah, he'll turn 2 toward the end of the summer. And then we've got a little girl on the way that we're expecting in August. So eagerly awaiting number 5 here.
Awesome. Well, I'm sure that will be an exciting day for your 4 to welcome that little one into your home.
Yep.
Mark, what gets you excited about working with families, not just your own, but those within your church too?
Yeah, well, that's part of it now. I mean, originally, I was here about 7 years before we started having kids of our own. And I love working with kids and families and seeing when they get it. Seeing some of these kids that are just rejoicing in their faith. VBS is coming up here for us too. That's always a really fun time to see these kids just have so much fun and energy learning about their Savior, learning about their faith and growing in it. And then, yeah, especially this last 8 years, it's rejuvenated me in some ways of seeing my own kids go through it. Like it's great to see other kids grow and progress in all these things. And then seeing it in my own house has been amazing too. And getting to do some of the same things with my family that I've done with kids here at Trinity is a great experience. And it's helped me learn a lot more and grow a lot more in this too. So hopefully it's making me a better DCE.
Mark, what are some of those things that you've done, you said that you've done with your own family that kind of had carried over to the congregation as well? What are some of those things that you've done that way?
Yeah, so one in particular is prayer. Like we think of prayer a lot of times as this, we don't have a whole lot of idea. We're like, oh, we pray. We just, that's what we do in church and whatever. But how do you pray with a 3-year-old? What can they really do? And that's a hard question for me as a parent with raising my kids. What can they do? What should they be able to do? And even me as a DCE, like I've learned this stuff, right? I should be a professional in all this stuff. All right, great. Tell me what a 3-year-old can do with prayer. And you're like, it's a little harder than that. There's a little more nuance to it. And so that's been some great things of learning with my family. Like my little Isaiah, he's 20 months right now. So what can he do when we pray? He can put his little mitts together when we pray. And he looks around the table. He sees his older siblings doing it. He sees mom and dad do it. He doesn't really know what he's doing, but boy, I can put my hands together. And I get a big smile when we say amen at the end of the prayer. That's good enough for him. And once he hits 2 here, he'll probably start repeating back amen at the end of the prayer. So that's where it starts from. And then my Ezra at 3, he can start doing some real simple prayers like, Ezra, can we pray for your family? And he'll say, dear God, please be with my family. Amen. And then he follows it up with, was that a good prayer? And I'll tell him, yes, that was a great prayer, Ezra. And so it's just kind of building some of those things with prompts like that. Can you pray for your family? Can you pray for your neighbors? Can we pray for something you're thankful for? and giving some specific little things like that for 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, and moving up from there.
Yeah, great. Mark, I know that you and Libby have been working on something at your church to really help families, not just with prayer, but with knowing what's appropriate for each of the age levels and as children grow older. And can you just talk to us a little bit about that project, like where you got the idea from and how you're implementing it, how it's helpful? There's maybe a lot of questions there, so you can just take part of that and we'll kind of maybe follow up with some other questions.
Yeah. I think I'll start with like where the idea came from, and then we can probably talk a little bit about what some of those things look like. The idea really came from when Karis went to the doctor at 5 years old, and they have this list of things that they check off at the doctor's office just for her regular checkup. The social emotional stuff. Does she play with other kids? Does she take turns with them? And the doctor like literally checks these things off on the list. Language communication. Can she answer some simple questions after reading a book? Can she tell a story herself? The cognitive domain. Can she count to 10? Does she know her letters? Can she start writing some of the letters, especially like letters in her name? Physical development. Can she hop on one foot? The gross motor. Can she button her buttons? Some of the fine motor stuff. And in my head as a father and then as a DCE too, we don't have any of these things for faith stuff. Like what's the check mark for a 5-year-old for faith stuff? Back to this prayer thing, what should my 5-year-old be able to do in terms of prayer? And so that my wife and I work together a lot on some of this stuff of how do we establish some of these, we call them benchmarks. What should my 5-year-old be able to do? What should my 10-year-old be able to do? And then eventually getting to what should my kid look like when they're leaving the house? When they're an adult themselves and living out their own life of faith. So that's kind of where some of the ideas from this came from. Other things like we had a family, a great family here that is active, comes to church every week. Their kids are in Sunday school with our kids, and they came up to us after Sunday school 1 week and said, well, we finished reading the story Bible. We give out story Bibles to our younger kids. They said, well, we finished reading that with our son. Now what do we do? It's like, oh, that's a great question. Like they're doing all the right things as a parent, right? They're doing these devotions at their home, reading their Bible, and they finished and said, all right, now what? And so part of this, the impetus for this was we should be able to educate our parents what the now what is, or the another parent that came up and talked to me, and her literal, this is a quote from her. Yeah, I know I'm supposed to teach my kids about Jesus and stuff, but what's the stuff? and that's part of this too. Like, yeah, we're teaching our kids, we're raising them in this gospel message. But there's all these other little things that play a part in it too, like prayer, like worship, like reading the Bible, like service and things like that, that I think it's just helpful to have a little guidance and direction on, again, what can my kid do at this age?
So Mark, what you're saying is that just as your pediatrician has these developmental milestones that your children hopefully should be hitting and making sure they're quote unquote on track developmentally, so that's like intellectually and physically, what you're saying is that it would make sense that as they grow in their bodies, that they should also be simultaneously growing in spiritual maturity. It's kind of like what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians when he says, here, brothers, I first started you with milk because that's what you needed. But now, if you were to be growing as you should as spiritual people, you should be ready for solid food. But you're still not ready for it, kind of a thing. And so this is kind of the goal of parents, right, is to be giving our children the appropriate food at the appropriate time.
Yeah. And that's exactly right. And even more to that, if we took Karis to the doctor and she couldn't jump on one foot very well, she didn't have the gross motor control for doing that, what would the doctor tell us? you should go home and practice hopping and skipping in your driveway. Like, draw, take some sidewalk chalk and draw in the driveway, have her practice a hopscotch, because it's going to teach her those things. And so we can apply the same thing. Like, all right, my kid can't pray right now. What should I do? Well, we can go home and practice it. And here's some building blocks for doing it. Don't start with, all right, son, you should be able to pray. You're leading family prayer tonight now. Like, no, we're gonna start with some of the building blocks here. Let's learn a memorized prayer first, a dinner prayer that we're going to do. Let's learn a memorized bedtime prayer. All right, now in the next step, let's do a prompt, like kind of like what I do with Ezra. Let's pray for someone in our family. And it might start with, please be with my family, amen, and start that simple. But then it can progress to, all right, let's pick a person in our family and get a little more specific. And that just, it builds some of these things. And it's not an all or nothing thing here. It's, like you said, it's building blocks. It's moving from spiritual milk to solid food.
And I want to get more into what your faith benchmarks is. But you said that you kind of developed this with your wife as a response to the questions you were receiving from parents, which is awesome. But I imagine, unless this isn't true in your case, but I imagine you probably also looked out into your congregation and probably saw kids who could probably be participating in the worship service at a certain age, but maybe they just don't know how, or their parents don't know how to bring them along in that. You know, there's a certain point, at least for me, where it's like, okay, we're bringing snacks still because I got a 2-year-old. Yep. You know, everybody needs a drink for our hour worship service. There's some crayons and paper for you to color on. But then it's like, if you don't stop and kind of assess that as a parent, it's like, oh, wow, my kid's still 10 and needs to doodle. Well, maybe we should be.
I don't know, Stephanie, we still get a mint, you know, in our family. We've got a mint down the road during the season. So, yeah, so we still get that. So I don't know.
Oh, listen, I'm not anti-mint ever. But, you know, I'm just speaking for myself, too, as a parent. It's like I realized, wow, my 8-year-old can be singing hymns because he can read. He should be participating by saying the Lord's Prayer with us, by confessing his sins. I mean, he has heard this in the womb. He knows the words of the liturgy by heart. So I guess, I don't know, walk me through that. Have you assessed that happening, you know, around you, and then feeling the need to help equip parents to do that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The stereotypical one I see is the children's message. We do that every week. And what age should my kid go up to the children's message? What age should my kid stop going to the children's message? And so it's funny to see, like Isaiah, my littlest one, for example. So when he was 6 months old, like, should he come up to the children's message? Should he not? What should we do? Or my oldest one, he's 8. He comes up to children's message all the time. But how about when he's in 5th grade? Should he still come up then? Like, what can my kid do at these ages during worship? And you made a great point. Like, an 8-year-old can read. Like, that is a huge leap in development from kindergarten of not being able to read to even end of 2nd grade. They can read quite well, and they can participate in so much more in the service at that point. My kindergartner, one Karis who just graduated kindergarten, she's just learning how to read. She can't keep up with hymns unless she knows them from singing them often, like Advent and Christmas hymns and some of our Easter and Lent one that she hears multiple times. But Micah now, he can read well. He just finished 2nd grade, and so he can follow along, and that's his step in development. He can now start singing along really well with the congregation. Karis can do some of the repeated stuff very well at a kindergarten age. So, Lord, in your mercy, and she says, hear our prayer. That's totally within her realm of doing, and she can participate in the prayers of the church and things like that. The creed, the Lord's Prayer. Ezra, down at 3 years old, he comes up to the children's message. He can do responsive prayers. He's good with that. Listening to the Bible readings, yeah, maybe not, like a 3-year-old, and depends how long the Bible reading is. It's really helpful. We have children's Bibles in our pews. If the pericope lands on one of the stories that's in the children's Bible there, you can pull that open for him and he can see the picture of it while he's listening to it. But yeah, you're building up these different things in the church service up until the point where, again, Micah at 8 years old, he can listen to the readings well. He's even starting to get some of the sermon too. And no, is he good at listening to a whole sermon? No. No, he just finished second grade. No, he's not. He needs mints in the service too. When he sees his little siblings with snacks, he still wants those. Of course, the kids. But it's what can my kid do at this age and this developmental stage? And then how do we look forward to what's their next step? What are they going to be able to know and understand and be able to do and participate in the service?
So with this resource, Mark, that you've developed for your congregation, looking at these benchmarks, you're identifying kind of where they should be at. How are you helping families learn those things? You know, you can think about your own family of like, yeah, well, they should be doing the responses. Are those things that we hope that is catch from being there, or is it an intentional modeling or teaching, or what might that look like for some of these things?
Yeah, so there's a couple different ways that can look, and we're going to started testing out a little bit of this last year. This next year, I really want to kind of go full bore on some of these things here. We do a legacy or family faith legacy type of program, a milestone program at our church. And this is kind of going to be the backbone of it. And it starts with, so our 18-year-olds, again, when they're leaving the house, what do we want them to look like when we leave the house? And so we start on the one end of here's what I want them to look like. And then we back it up all the way to zero and say, all right, what can they actually do developmentally? And then Libby and I worked our way from both ends of the spectrum, from zero and 18, and then worked our way toward the middle. And how do we mesh all these things, starting where they can developmentally, and how do we get to eventually where we want them to be? So that's where this milestone program is going to kind of fit in with that, of touching base with these parents at every age and stage, and using them as a cohort too, to support each other, and being on, again, hopefully this, I'm not going to try and paint a rose colored picture that everything's going to work great on this, because no, it's not. our families are in all different places, all different spots with teaching their kids the faith and growing in the faith. And that's a given. But how do we walk alongside them? And again, some of them are going to be further ahead and further behind. But if you go back to the doctor, what are they going to tell you to do? Well, go practice this thing. Go work on this thing. And so that's going to be the design of this, is where are you at? And it's not ahead or behind. I don't want it to come across as, oh, my kid's ahead, or oh, my kid's behind on this. It's development. It's where are we moving in this understanding of our faith growth. And so I really don't want it to come across as ahead or behind type of stuff. But what is this developmental path that we have? So meeting with families, with kids of those ages together, they can help each other. Here's what works for me. Here's what works in my house. Maybe that'll work in yours. Maybe it won't. Yours is a little different situation too. And having that feedback from each other and support from each other is huge for helping families help other families.
Well, without a goal, without a target, it's hard to make it, right? I mean, you kind of need a place where you're headed in order to even try.
Yep. Yeah, and that's part of it too. Like I said before, there's a lot of families that just don't know, what should I be doing? What should I be working on? And well, here's a couple really simple things you could work on this year with your kid.
Yeah, good. So Mark, would you call this faith benchmarks, is that the official title of, what is this, a program, a curriculum, or just like a set of guidelines? What do you call it? And then what's it kind of, how have you kind of structured it?
I don't know what it is yet.
Okay, yeah.
It's a lot of things. So it can be the backbone of a program, like I want to do with this, with our milestone series. I also think it could work well in a Sunday school setting. It's not replacing curriculum, but if you gave your second grade Sunday school teacher this list of benchmarks and say, hey, yes, you're doing this curriculum over the year, but as you're working with your kids, they should be able to do XYZ when it comes to prayer. They should be able to do XYZ when it comes to reading God's word. I think those would be great targets to give some of your, give, for example, your Sunday school teachers, that they can work on those during the year. And it's not, again, it's not replacing curriculum, but when they look at these, some of these prayer objectives, and they say, oh yeah, well, in our Sunday school class, when we open or close with prayer, then we'll practice some of these things. I think you could do the same thing in a school setting as well, too. Give your fourth grade teacher this list of things, and it's not replacing religion curriculum or anything like that. But it's saying, it's teachers do this already. They measure their kids in math, they measure their kids in reading, and they assess them all these different areas. So here's a couple things that you can say, can my fourth graders do these things by the end of the year? If so, awesome. Like, then we're where we think they should be developmentally. If they're behind, great. You got a list of things that you can practice with them, and things that you can work on to help build them up to there. If they're, again, quote, ahead of that, fine. Pull out the next age one and start working on some of those. It's not ahead or behind sort of thing. It's a development.
So Mark, as you're develop these benchmarks, you know, I've heard you talk about several different areas. You know, we think about our physical development or gross motor skills or fine motor skills. What were the areas that you chose, that you and Libby chose for this resource, and kind of why did you choose those areas for faith benchmarks?
Yeah. So kind of started, we just threw everything on the paper, just made this giant list of here's all the stuff we can think of. And then we tried to push them and squish them and categorize them and get it down into, because if we have this list of 100 different things, nobody's going to look at that. Nobody's going to read it. Nobody's going to pay attention to that. So we tried to get it down to, and we got down to four categories, essentially. So prayer, which we've talked about here and there in this conversation. Prayer is one of those. Worship, which we've kind of talked about, is one of those too. What can my kid do at whatever age in worship? Third one, which we've loosely talked about, is we just call word. So this incorporates our daily devotion routine, our knowledge, understanding of the Bible, things like that. And it's really focused in on home, like home-based devotion stuff. Yes, word covers all of these things, obviously. And then the fourth area is service. So this is our interaction with the community around us. So word, worship, prayer, and service. Those are the four main areas that we narrowed it down to, and then just put a few things for each age in each one of those. That is a next developmental step for them.
Can you give us an example? Sorry to put you on the spot, but in each of these four areas, can you walk us through some examples for, like, a say, a 10-year-old?
Yeah. Actually, I think, let me do it the other way. Let's take a category and then look at it kind of through the ages to see as it develops. Yeah. So I'm just going to pick service, just because this is one I've used as an example before, and some people are familiar with this sticky faith principle of having other significant adults that are pouring into your kid's life, and the impact that has over their lifespan, and especially into young adulthood. So I think that's a fairly common thing for people that don't know. It's a research study that was done and looking at kids who stayed active in their faith after high school. They were much more likely to have at least five other adults in the church, not family, that were important to them. So we broke this down again. Where do we want to end with? We want to end with at least five significant other adult family relationships in the church. And then we work backwards from there. So what can my 3-year-old do at church that makes a connection with the community around him? He can know his Sunday school teacher's name and the kids in his class. Boom, done. Like, that's it. If you can do that, check it off. You've hit the developmental milestone for that.
And so for that, you might encourage parents like to, hey, do you remember your Sunday school teacher's yep. name? And they might reinforce the name at home or on the way home from church every yep. week or something like yep. that. Yeah.
And it's just something like little like that, but it starts to build a connection. And I mean, secretly, it also helps the parents learn some of the other kids' names too, because
absolutely,
let's be honest with each other. Everybody says they're not good at names because most of us aren't good at names. We actually have to, you have to make a concerted effort for doing that.
Have to work and try.
And so it's helping your kid as much as it's helping yourself. But then what's the next step after that? Do you know, and actually before that, I can even go one step before that of knowing the kids in your Sunday school class. Do you know your pastor's name and you shake his hand on the way out of church? Like that's an even smaller building block ahead of that. That's a great thing. Now, can my 3-year-old pronounce our pastor's name correctly? Not really. He calls him Pastor Schwartz instead of Pastor Schwartz. So, but it's cute adorable. And it's hilarious and it's funny. But yeah, so do they know their kids in their class and their teacher? What's the next step? Do they know one other family? And this is real simple. Do you know one other family? So my second grader, my first second grader, do they know one other family that cares about them in the church? That's your next step. And then we move on further up from there and we slowly build up some of these things till eventually we get to the end of high school. And do you have 5 other families that you're connected with that are pouring into the faith life of your child? So there's a quick service example.
Yeah, I like that, Mark, as you're going through. I can think of like just ways that I could encourage families to do those things if they didn't intuitively know how to do them, but they're all very tangible and kind of just straightforward. Like, here's things that you can do. Like, well, how do I get to know another family? Well, then I can help them and give them like, well, you could invite them over for dinner. You could go out to eat together. You could, you know, just go meet to play in the park at certain times. Like, I can give them those kinds of resources, but they get to then own what that looks like for their family. So that I really like that idea of like, now that I know what the benchmark is, I know there's different strategies I can use to get there.
Yeah.
You know what? This helps adults. I just as you said, Mark, earlier with remembering your Sunday school teacher's name or the kids in your class, this kind of forces adults, whether you're parent, grandparent, what have you, to be doing the same thing. Because I have to say that making connections for kids, well, it's hard for adults too. And so if you have a church that is focused on that, can you imagine the kind of community you can build just by having this as part of your culture in your church, just this alone? And the same thing I would imagine with what your benchmarks are for worship, for word, for prayer. This isn't just, although it is to help kids mature in their faith, but it's also to keep adults accountable to be continuing in a habit that is the Christian life. This is just the, you know, form of what it is to be a Christian. We live together, we repent, we forgive, we read, we pray. Thank you for doing this for your church, and hopefully you'll get to share this with the church at large too. Maybe some pressing question is, how do people who are listening get a hold of what you're doing right now? Like, how do we get to benefit if we're not at Rochester, Trinity in Rochester?
So we're testing some of this out right now. And that's the hope, is to like fully publish some of this stuff. Right now I want to get some feedback on how it works and do some pilot stuff, kind of like we're doing here. Cause I think there's a lot of different applications, either, like I said, in a milestone program or Sunday school or a school setting or things like that. And so right now I have a few people that are kind of working on how it might look, and then in different situations, and then we publish it so that it's available for people to look at and use and make use of.
That's great, Mark. So as we're kind of thinking about this this conversation with helping and supporting families, if you could encourage churches to just do one thing to help families, what would that be?
That's a good question. I kind of almost go back to what Steph just said, the not so secret about this. Part of this is it's as much about the parents as it is about the kids. So yeah, it's faith benchmarks for where your kids should be at. But as you correctly identified, every single one of them is accomplished through doing it with your kids. Like every one of those. You worship with your kids, you pray with your kids, you serve with your kids, you do devotions with your kids. Doing that together is the key to this. So if I'm gonna ask, like, what would you encourage churches to do? One thing to help their families would be to do these things together. To pray together, to read God's word together. Don't do it. Don't have your kid. All right, go read your devotion. Go do this by yourself. Make sure you say your bedtime prayers before you go to bed. Go do it with them.
So equipping the parents to be able to do these things with their family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's great.
If you could help encourage parents in just one sentence, one word, or one piece of advice to individual homes, households, what would you say?
One singular piece of advice. If I put it down to
you
one.
You only have
piece of
one,
advice,
Mark. You got one.
Talk about your faith at home. If I could give one piece of advice.
Yeah.
So just slightly bigger than that. On each of these faith benchmark categories, worship, word, prayer, service, we have these list of benchmarks after them, but I have the cheater version at the top of it. So if you only do one thing, do this, and if you do that one thing, I know this sounds like clickbait material. Do this one thing, and then if you do this one thing, probably 85% of what below it is just going to naturally happen. So the prayer one, we have these different things like doing a prayer prompt, being able to say a prayer using a formula, being able to pray on your own, stuff like that. The one thing at the top, if you just do this, probably these things are going to naturally happen, is pray with your child. I know, surprise, surprise, shock of all shocks. The service one, we have services broken down into a few different things, from evangelism to vocation stuff to different things like that. But the one thing, if you do this as a parent, serve with your child. If you just do that, you're probably going to accomplish 85% of all the stuff on the list below that. So again, you see the connection here. Pray with your child, serve with your child, go to worship with your child. And then the last one, read the Bible or story Bible or whatever your devotion you're using, do that with your child.
Mark, thank you so much for joining us to talk about just not only what you're doing within your own congregation, but to provide some encouragement for other congregations and other families. And thank you so much to your wife, Libby, for her contribution in this as well, because it takes a teamwork to make the dream work.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. And thanks to our listeners for tuning in. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a review and don't forget to click the follow or subscribe button so you don't miss out on upcoming episodes. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at LCMS Life. And finally, listeners, we want to hear from you. Do you have an idea about a guest you'd like to hear from or a topic you want talked about? Email us at friendsforlife@lcms.org. We want to hear from you about what you want to hear about when it comes to issues of life.
Thanks for joining us. Friends for Life is a podcast that discusses the life God has given and the people He has called you to serve, right where you are in God's mission.